Ah, yes, GoToMeeting. You want to start the new year off right? You want to be smart this year? Let's not do what we did last year and not use GoToMeeting. Let's use GoToMeeting brought to you by Citrix. You want to get together with clients, coworkers? You want to do it even if you're miles apart? Easy. Save some of that jet fuel. Save the hassle. Save the pat-down. Oh, with the weather and the travel and the airports and the snowing in, forget it. GoToMeeting. Improve communication. Cut time and money wasted on business travel, and it's easy. Just sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device, and you can launch your first meeting in seconds. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and projects in real time. Turn on your webcam. See each other face-to-face. Free. 30 days. That's a 30-day trial. Free. No credit card required. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam for your free 30-day trial. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. Hey, Chickpeas, Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you. And you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Brody Stevens, plus Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Matt Atchity stops by for the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, representing the United States in figure skating at the Sochi Games, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for telling a friend and sharing the show with a friend. That's how we survive over here all these years and keep it coming to you for free. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Paul Bryan.
You look like you've been chowing box, man.
At Luke Skytalker wanted that. My God, it has been years, hasn't it? Here, it's been years we've been doing this.
Yeah.
You said all these years, and I was like, all these years. I'm like, shit, it has been years.
It has been years, and the only way we can do this is if you guys listen, you guys tell a friend, you guys endorse and help and frequent our sponsors and click through Amazon and go to our live shows in Buffalo and Irvine and Vegas. Second show, Chicago, is probably going to go pretty fast, so may want to get on that. And buy some Mangria, Seattle, Royal Oak, Lincoln, Amherst, or Amherst, as Drew said, not Hearst, but Erst, and Las Vegas. All, you can go to amcroll.com, find out all the dates and all that kind of stuff. Matt Atchity, Rotten Tomatoes. I love Rotten Tomatoes. I love the game. I love the theme song. I love looking up stuff. You know, we heard all the Oscar stuff come out today, and here comes American Hustle, and I'm like, that movie was overrated. And then I see the Rotten Tomatoes. I always love doing this. And it's always it's satisfying. You see, the critics at 94, and then and the top critics at 96, and you go to the people, and it's 80. And you go, yeah.
Wasn't
people,
quite there expecting.
People quite had that one right.
That's, I think we may have oversold that a little bit.
There's certain movies that are sort of made for critics, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, that movie's not perfect. But, you know, again, one of the things that happens with us is if everybody says a movie, yeah, that's pretty good, you can still get the 90s.
Yeah, and it was pretty good, and there's a lot of good things about it, and I would definitely recommend it. I wouldn't tell people not to watch it. I just don't feel like it's some best picture of the year. I don't feel like it. And I feel like I kind of feel like Rush got a little snub, and I feel like especially Daniel Brühl, who played Niki Lauda, I don't think he got it for Best Supporting.
He got a Golden Globe nomination, but not
a... He did get a Golden Globe. Somebody at the Golden Globes at the HFPA was connected to Rush, and they really lobbied hard, and it didn't pay off the way they wanted it to.
But
they got a lot of nominations out of it.
I thought he was really good in Rush.
He was the best part of the movie.
Best part of the movie. I enjoyed the movie a lot, and I enjoyed it more. It was weird. I went with my wife, and she really seemed to like it even more than me, and she's not interested in automobiles or racing or things like that.
Every time I hear Rush, I just think
Geddy Lee.
Yeah.
And then I think exactly. Jason Patrick, because wasn't he right. in a movie
yes.
called that? And then I remember this
maybe,
movie.
And maybe, yeah, maybe when you do enough of that, things suffer. But I just thought Daniel Brühl was – I thought that character was just great.
He did a great job. He was – I think he was really the standout in that whole movie. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The movie was about him, and he was the best part of the movie. Thus, he deserves a nomination, I think. But anyway. But then when you go and you see that movie and you go on Rotten Tomatoes, you see the people liked it more than the critics, I do believe. So the all critics were 89. That's pretty good. But
actually,
the audience,
pretty high.
Audience was 92. What were the top critics? I bet lower than the all. Let's see.
Probably.
We'll figure that one out.
There's a whole category of movie like you were talking about, American Hustle, overrated but still good. Sort of like The King's Speech. Like it wasn't quite that great, but you can't really deny that it's a good movie. You
right.
know, it falls right. into that category.
And speaking of overrated and still great, we were driving home from Vegas, and we missed our flight because we got fogged in last week out of Burbank. The fuck do you ever get fogged in Burbank? Fogged
Where
in.
Where does the fog come from? Is there a body of water producing fog in Burbank?
I don't
yeah,
know.
The Toluca Lake.
It's top critics Hollywood. 89 and all critics 89. Oh, sorry, down here. Yeah, 93 with the top
Whoa.
Critics. Oh, man, you don't see too many of those not get Oscar nod. Anyway, socked in 3 hours here, couldn't get out, got out of Vegas 3 hours late, missed our flight. And rented a car and drove home. And when we were driving home, we were killing time. And I brought up, now we have a lot of youngins in the car, guys like Max Pata. But we also have some seasoned veterans, guys like me and Jeff Fox. Jeff Fox, he listened to a lot of Dr. Demento growing up. But a big hole in his demented game. Did not know CB Savage. And I played it for him, and the man almost had an orgasm in the back of the Denali. And but I never seen a guy beat himself up more about not knowing a novelty song.
Well, now he has no cred.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew the you know, My Bologna and Ayatollah right. and all the good stuff, but he did not know CB Savage, and he loved it so much that he told me recently it was like being. A huge Twilight Zone fan and discovering an episode you'd never seen.
I just wow. got excited imagining what that would be like if that happened with Facts of Life.
Yeah, me too. Oh, with Facts of Life.
Yeah.
So just remind me, we should play a little CB Savage.
There for the rocking chair out on I-40, dodging bucks in pickup trucks in West New Mexico.
I played it before, but it bears repeating.
Me and old Jay was just about
it's bored a powerful message to it.
But we come awake when a CB break come a ringing loud and clear. And we heard this voice that we ain't never heard before saying,
Break 19, I'm CB Savage. Hi, all you 18-wheelers. Anyone seen any smoky bears? How about some bear smokies? CB Savage here. Come on.
It's what you call art. Janine Garofalo.
Well, I looked at Jay and I said, hey, did you hear what I just heard? He nodded his head and his face got red and he never said a word. We both reached for the mic thinking we might just answer that 19 call. When that CB device come back to life, just a lisping wall to wall.
Should have seen Jeff's face about now.
And that unusual
Delighted.
Voice came on again, saying...
I forgot it was unusual.
Break 19 again. This is your one and only CB Savage. Mercy sakes, good bodies. Could I please have your 20? I'd settle for a big 10-4. Mercy, mercy. How about a milepost? Listen, you can't keep your hammers down forever, you know. Speak to me, pedal pumpers. How about it?
Again,
well, the
comes
box
around, man.
Look straight ahead.
Keep listening.
Didn't say a
character
word
arc.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
We
oh,
had
yeah.
four in the chair and the door back there, but nobody'd answer that call. A while went by, and Jay and I, we started breathing again. We figured this stranger was plumb out of range when all at once he'd come back in.
I think we're traveling through Baker.
And it was that same time. Odd voice saying,
Odd.
Breakers, breakers, any takers? Hi, hi, it's me again. I'm in your chair and I love it there. Say, you truckers really know how to take a person for a ride. Speak to me, you diesel demons. I'd love to get to know your handles. CB Savage here. Come on, come on.
simpler times.
I grabbed the mic and I held it tight and my hand began to sweat. I looked at Jay and he was grinning away like a big old bird-fed cat. So I put down the talker and turned up the squawker and got a good grip
Matt,
on the
Matt, you know
wheel.
This one?
I decided to truck her, but answer
remember
this question,
it.
Sure as heck
it's
wasn't
been a long, long time. I did about listen to a lot
time,
of the
time, that weird voice came back on again, saying,
"You breakaroo, hi-hi, you Jim Dandy Jimmy Jam with you. Do I ever have a surprise
Here's
for you?
Here's the turn.
If you listen real close, you'll find my voice is changing. And if you'll start checking your rear views, you'll find you got company. Five plain white smokies dressing up for a ticket writing party.
Yeah.
Y'all were so busy copying my put on, you didn't notice your little convoy was
he
being infiltrated.
Busted them for being close-minded.
Yeah. You can start shutting them down anytime now. This is your CB Savage, the smokies friend. Wall to wall and treetop tall. That is all. Bye-bye.
I was delighted that someone in the car never... It really was.
Yeah, it holds up, really.
You don't know if that was done in 1976 or 1977.
Yeah, that's exactly... I was thinking the same thing.
The golden age of CB songs.
Oh, my God. Every fourth song was a CB song. Every sixth movie was CB or trucker related.
CB related, right.
That's right. You don't want to drive a truck for a living? Good. Education match. May I suggest that in 2014. Let me throw something on you, man. People with a college degree earn more than $1 million over the course of their lives than people who don't. And I imagine that's a number just keeps going up as people live longer. Call Education Match today, 855-507-0607. Opportunities tailored for your lifestyle, your needs, including online and traditional campus programs. Certificates. See, I should have gone there. Diplomas, associates, and bachelors and masters, even doctoral degrees. Call Education Match today. Call them free. 855-507-0607. Speak to a dedicated representative and find the right option for you. That's 855-507-0607. Let's get the new year going, baby. All right, Matt, I'm so excited to play your game now. Matt will do the, it'll be the all the critics.
Well, before that.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, what, for sure the theme. Then we'll have the theme. And we'll announce the theme of
the theme song.
But the theme song, and then it'll be, we will guess and combine the score and whoever, like golf.
Yeah, it's the least farthest away, the closest right. to the overall total.
Right. I told you that you guys have made my brother very happy with this song.
Oh, it's...
Because, you know, I'm used to, you know, I get feedback when I do the show. I hear from a lot of listeners, and it's great to hear the feedback. But my brother, who doesn't do much media for Rotten Tomatoes, because he doesn't work for us... He now, when he calls people at work and they can tell that it's him, they pick up the phone and they're singing, Anthony!
Again, the game would be like in Rush, if we thought, if I guessed 87 and it was 89, then you could add 2 to my tally.
There you go.
All right, let's play it.
It is the first of the year, so we'll play the whole song.
Oh, hell yeah.
It makes me feel so welcome. I love that you guys did
that. That's so good because plenty of people hate their songs.
I love that.
No, I love it. Mine's CB Savage now. All right. So the theme, Matt.
All right. The theme today in honor of one of the Oscar nominees, Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do Matthew McConaughey movies.
All right.
So we'll start early in his career, 1993. Big cast, lots of other stars, went on to do great things. The movie, Dazed and Confused.
And we're writing these down, by the way.
Dazed and Confused.
A lot of stars before they were stars.
Yeah.
A lot of stars who are no longer stars.
Right.
Hey, Rory Cochrane is due for a comeback.
Fun, fun
Ben
movie.
Affleck in this.
Yeah, liked it.
Cole Hauser. Londons.
For a while, it was McConaughey's my favorite role for him because that dude who it's a great part of life where there is a part of life where all you have above somebody is 2 years, but that's but you will lord it
oh,
over
yeah, that's
them.
Epic. That's a huge distance in high school.
Yeah, but or when the guy's in high school and you're 2 years out of high school, like I'm sure at some point Richard Branson at 16 and a half or 17 had to kiss the ass and look up to a 19-year-old dude just because he had an El Camino. You know what I'm saying? Like had to kiss his ass because he had a full-time gig and just a little money in his pocket.
What's funny is when I saw that, I thought McConaughey was so much older than they were. Like, I thought he was like 35.
Yeah.
Well, they play him up to look older.
Yeah. I enjoy it. But he was only supposed to be a few years out of high school,
it's
wasn't
he? It's a mustache.
I love that role. The movie, the music's great and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't hold up. The pacing doesn't hold up that well. It's just kind of... Also, the part where the 140-pound guy is the star of the football team and the coach wants him to sign a thing that says Mary.
Randall right. Pink Floyd?
Yes. I will just jump out. But an easy movie to like as a critic, I will say 77.
Whoa.
You saw my 78. That's what I had written down.
You both saw my 75. I think that drug thing turned off a few critics, but this is a very good movie.
Directed by Richard Linklater, who directed Before Sunset, Before Sunrise. You guys are all shockingly low. 94.
Whoa.
94% certified fresh.
I'm in the lead.
94.
Good job, Allison.
Yeah, good
Thank
job.
You.
Well, wasn't that good?
I was going to say, now I think it's overrated.
Right. But it is one of the ones where the audience was lower than the critics, which you don't oftentimes see. All right.
Dawson,
here we go.
How many times did you see this in the theater?
I never saw it in
what?
The theater. Never saw it in the theater, but I've since then, as soon as I got it on DVD, I've watched it at least 200 times.
Right. And McConaughey's got it lost. Exactly. It'd be a lot better if you did.
You know what's weird, though? Getting high and watching movies where other people get high is like if I liked porn, but it was only dudes beating off. Like, I like to see dudes handling their own cock.
I'm following you down that train.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see dudes beating off in my porn. I'd like to see chicks getting laid.
That's why I didn't see it in the theater, because I wanted to beat off.
Oh, right. No, I didn't mean exactly.
Well,
but
that makes
you know
too
what I'm
much
saying.
Sense.
There's a lot of movies where people like to see they see exactly what they're doing. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Allison, enjoy your lead, baby. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right. A few years later, more serious role, based on a John Grisham novel, A Time to Kill.
Mm-mm.
One of the first times we see Matthew McConaughey as a lawyer. Won't be the last time we see him as one, though.
Boy, Watch I don't remember that. Seeing this, and I don't remember anything about it.
Fellow Oscar nominee this year, Sandra Bullock. Samuel L. Jackson. That's the one where Sam Jackson.
Chris Cooper's in this.
McConaughey is defending Sam Jackson against in court, a racist Southern town.
Oh, okay. All right. So we have to write our score down. Otherwise, it's no fair. Otherwise, I just go wherever.
Joel
Brian
Schumacher's
went.
First movie after Batman Forever.
Now I got a beat on it. I didn't see the movie. I don't remember that much about it, but it sounds like a good theme to like as a critic. But I don't remember it being that good that it would have gotten. So I'll go. All right. 71.
My impression was critics were like, he's the new Paul Newman, and they were freaking out. I'm getting only 85. 85%.
I'm going 58 just because. Mm.
67%.
Whoa!
Oh, boy. This is a tight...
I am falling way behind.
Tight race.
What did you guess it was, Adam?
I said 71.
Whoa.
All right.
I have fallen far behind.
All right. Here Next up, a starring role. He's the lead in the movie. It's the second movie that year about people who are on TV 24 hours a day. This is EdTV.
Saw it in the theater. Enjoyed it. Oh, no, wait a minute. I think I'm thinking of the wrong one.
You're thinking of the Truman Show?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Truman.
That's with Jim Carrey.
This one is.
This one is his brother's played by Woody Harrelson. They're now co-starring on.
Oh boy.
Is this Rob Reiner or is this Ivan Reitman?
Rob Reiner is in this. Ron Howard directed.
Oh yeah.
Hmm. No idea on this
one. Jenna Elfman is at the beginning of the movie dating Woody Harrelson. Matthew McConaughey falls for her.
All right.
Ellen DeGeneres is the network exec.
All right.
This was a bad movie, but I say the score is buoyed a little bit by Ron Howard's involvement because he's a critic's darling, 50%.
I wrote down 60.
I wrote down 61.
Ooh, I wrote down 61 too, and then I crossed it off and wrote 60.
Oh.
Allison was closest, 64%.
God damn it.
That's almost exactly what happened last time.
I got to
cross down my 61 and went the wrong direction. Woo! Me and Allison got to be pretty close about now. All right. Here we go into the championship rounds.
All right. Two more left. This one was a big movie in 2006, directed by McGee, based on a true story, a tragic story about a football team that got wiped out in a plane crash. The movie is We Are Marshall.
I got recruited to play football at Marshall, but I have to point out to everyone it was shortly after the plane crash, or possibly during. So they weren't the powerhouse to think of now, or at least a few years ago. All right. Hard to say shitty things about this movie. I kind of saw bits and pieces. I saw three quarters of it on cable. I don't think anyone thought it was great, but on the other hand, it's hard to, you know, put the thumbs down for a movie about a bunch of dead guys and kind of a nice ending and black quarterback and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to go 74.
All right. I said 82. I remember this being a feel-good movie. Everyone liked it.
And I said 81.
49%.
What?
What?
What the? 49?
I am shocked by that.
Under
50%, okay,
I was totally fine. Like, the guy was like a period piece. And first off, everyone's just dead of a plane crash. You know, the entire
look
team.
At the audience gave it 80.
It was a real feel-good movie.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't Rudy, but it wasn't 40 points away from Rudy, was it?
No, not at all.
One that the critics said that they got too schmaltzy.
I think McGee was on a real cold streak. He'd done like Charlie's Angels 2 and some
That was the other
movies.
Thing. That was kind of the point where McGee was getting away from doing action and like, let's be dramatic and happy.
All right, what did the top critics say, Gary? And then we'll. All right, we'll keep going to the last one. Boy, howdy.
Right, should I even bother?
This last one.
Well, you never know because you can go. Here's the whole thing. You can definitely – there is a strategy where if this was the last question, I would have said 30
right.
just on an off chance.
To be off by only so many points.
It's not going to – you may as well let it ride on something big one direction or another. All right. Marshall of 44 was the top critics. Boy, they didn't like this movie.
Not a bad movie.
All right. So this last one, Matthew McConaughey plays an agent – who will go to the ends of the earth to get his client anything he needs, the movie Tropic Thunder. Remember, he's Tug Speedman's
agent. That's right. Yeah.
Great cast in this.
I don't see the rotation on cable that much with this movie. I liked it. This and I would like to see this. The one I'm happy for is Drive never shows up on cable either. There's movies. I want to know why. Drive was so critically acclaimed, it's probably 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I've never seen it on cable, and I don't see Tropic Thunder either, and I would like to see that. Lots of great characters in that movie. Tom Cruise is fun in that movie. Robert Downey Jr. is
playing
great.
Playing a dude, pretending to be another dude, dressed as a dude.
Yeah, this is a...
God, gotta be... Drive 93, by the way. All right, I'll go first. I'll write my number down. I'm going to say... 89.
This is one of my all-time favorite comedies. I go 82.
And I went 88.
83.
Ooh, redemption, barely, not really.
Certified Fresh with 229 reviews. People went bananas over this movie.
Adam, Brian, Allison.
I finished second? Oh, no.
We're going to get the scores. Oh, but the number. I thought he was saying how we finished.
That felt very wrong.
We'll give you the total. So now on that one, Allison was.
No, I was off.
I said 88.
I was off.
I said 89. So I was off. You picked up one on me. Brian, 85. Allison, 65. Adam 56. All right. Get a screen grab of this. And let's have contact lenses made out of it for Allison.
Martin, our friend. What would I be seeing all the time?
You'd be seeing you at 65 and Brian at 85. Don't worry about me. I'm in a different class. You know, in racing they have like showroom stock, and then they have unlimited.
But I have one on one eye and the other on the other. Or would I have both on both?
You just have. Ooh, interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Now I have to work that one out.
One would give me a crazy headache.
What kind of speech does a coach give to a player who has a bad game like that? That's a six interception game.
Yeah. Well, there's no need to have a conversation with a perennial all star like yourself, Brian. You know, you know what I'm saying. Well, what I'm saying is this. When Peyton Manning throws one out there on a screen, it gets picked off because the outside backer's broken off his rush and went and grabbed that wounded duck. No one has to give an earful on the sideline.
No one says he'll get him next time.
Exactly.
It's understood.
What, he knows what he did wrong.
I feel better.
All right. Matt, great job.
Thank you.
A couple of phone calls before Brody Stevens comes in here. Brody is a comedian and noted for probably being the worst guest host ever on this show. Not says me, just causing the audience was...
causing the largest outcry.
Outcry. And I have no connection to it because I was shooting a sitcom and I never heard the show, so I never know what actually happened. But I heard through the grapevine, and it maybe even worked into a stand-up set at some point. Brody, I think I saw last time I was doing Jeff Ross's roast show, The Burn. But we'll check that with him when he comes in. You would be burned if you did not use Stamps.com, baby. I don't know if you heard yet, but the postage rates, they've changed again. Oh, man, it's like watching a tennis match. Super expensive tennis match. Or ping pong tournament. That's right. You're going to have to wait longer. The stamps, the lines, the wanted posters. Talk about depressing. Forget about going to the post office. Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage. Use your own computer. It's 2014. That's the way we should do it. That's it. You get the scale. You plug it in. Automatically calculates the exact postage you need. Any letter, any package, and you get $55 free postage. What a deal. Only if you enter Adam. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage. Type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Promo code Adam. All right. We'll take a couple of phone calls. Matt, as long as you're around and the Oscars are around, any snubs, anything? Is anyone outraged by anything?
There were a lot of people surprised that The Butler got no love.
That was not a good movie, Matt.
You didn't think it was a good movie?
I think I talked about it on the show, and I said it was bleh.
Yeah, it didn't. It's not a great movie, but a lot of people thought that Oprah was going to get a nomination, which she did not. Some surprise that Tom Hanks didn't get a nomination for Best Actor or Robert Redford either. But that category this year is very strong, and it's hard to pick someone in that category that you'd bump out because it's Christian Bale and Bruce Dern, Leonardo DiCaprio, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, and so it's not, did those guys get snubbed? It's who would you take out of that group?
Exactly.
You have to take someone out of that group. Now, to me, Redford, and it was nice because he sat down with us for our documentary, so I don't want to talk any shit about the man, but I saw the movie, didn't have dialogue in it. So to me, it's kind of, look, he looked like he was drowning on his face pretty darn good, but to me, no dialogue means probably don't need to be nominated.
Is that not a greater acting challenge, though, to portray an entire movie without being able to speak?
No.
Okay.
Not for me. I mean,
not many lines
not
to memorize.
When they throw you in. From what little shit I've done where they put you in a sewer and then someone throws a rat in the sewer and you're trying to escape through the sewer, your brain is pretty much just there. Like, you don't go, I'm now going to summon the likes of the great Barrymores and all this stuff. You just go, there's a fucking rat in the water and I'm running. You don't even really notice the camera.
Did you know that he's never won an Oscar, Redford?
Oh, yeah. Well, he should. I feel like he should get something.
That was what a lot of the pundits were saying, was that, he'll get a nomination because the Academy likes to do the thing where you can nominate someone before they die and give it to them while they're still alive. Bruce Dern kind of fills that role. Bruce Dern's been really smart because he's been out doing a lot of screenings here in L.A., a lot of Q&As afterwards, and he's really making himself available. you know, if he's not officially lobbying, he's out there pressing the flesh, he's schmoozing, and come voting time, people are going to remember, oh, yeah, but Bruce Dern, he was really nice.
I have that screener, and I'm just, I can't get myself to watch it because I know those movies.
It's not as much of a quirkity as the ones you're thinking of. It's an Alexander Payne, you know, Sideways and Descendants.
Well, I do like Sideways and Descendants.
Yes, and Election is
black and white. It's just one of those.
But there is a little bit of that, a little bit of
there
that.
There is some of that. There definitely is.
There's a part of me, did it get nominated for Best Film, too?
Yes, it did.
There's a part of me, again, got to go back to Rush, when I see like what was involved with making that movie, getting all those vintage F1 cars together and get them back on the track and the sounds and the cameras and the thing, and then versus the two guys driving the Impala across the country. I just go, best screenplay, maybe. Best performance, maybe. I'm not sure about best film, but maybe I'll have my socks knocked off. I don't know. Usually I get halfway into those, and then I go back. And I watch, like, All About the Benjamins or something for the 55th time. Or whatever that movie is where the black people steal.
Light It Up? Benjamins.
Yeah, one of those movies. All right.
I was really happy that this year we can now say that Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa is an Oscar-nominated
film.
For makeup? Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. Let's see.
That's the second movie that Spike Jonze, the director and producer, is involved in, because he also got a nomination for Her.
All right. Hey, Hillary, 30, Seattle.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Loving you, baby.
Loving you. Nice.
Hey, I'm coming out there and signing some bottles of Mangria over there at the Wine World and Spirits Saturday, January 25th. You want to say hi and see Mike August eat in the flesh?
Is that... In Seattle proper? Wine World?
I guess it's I guess that? So. Yeah.
Oh, my husband is telling me it's on 45th, right near UW.
Yeah, it's where he picks up his horse.
Wow.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Sweet. Anyways.
Co-eds.
Appreciate it. Sorry. Great. I'll look out for you.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question, I guess, that everybody can weigh in on. I was just wondering if you could give some do's and don'ts of a good caller to the show.
Definitely maybe. Do talk about super local wine shops. On what street they're on. What street they're on. If your husband's in the room, talking silently.
Well, whoever you're talking to, make sure they're not on the other line. do's right, and don'ts. I think, anyone who asks a question that hasn't been asked before or very often, anyone that has something that's sort of interesting, not on their speakerphone, clear and present voice and all that good stuff, but... I don't know. It's stuff that stirs up a conversation or a dilemma that we can solve.
I like the first thing you said. Every once in a while, we'll get a caller like this who says something, asks a question that's never been posed before, and it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm. I think also start asking your question when Adam goes to you, because there's a lot of Adam, you say in the person's name, and then they go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they pause.
And a certain amount of small talk about when they started listening. Thanks, Hillary.
Yeah.
Tell your hubby I will see him when I get out there on the 26th, 25th.
He will be delighted.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
baby girl.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks.
All right. Tim, line four, Baltimore. Tim, 27.
Hey, what's up,
dude? What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
This is a little kind of a ridiculous question, but my girlfriend says she's allergic to Red Dye 40.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys. Exactly. How you guys feel about the whole bullshit allergy stuff, but it literally affects all of our purchases. Like, yeah, obviously as far as food goes.
Well, what's it in?
Believe it or not, we were trying to make an Italian dinner. It was in the frozen meatballs, garlic bread, obviously the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Then a lot of medicine, cough syrup,
Let me say something. M&M's. This is going to keep spinning off until, it's in your semen. For sure. For sure. Yeah. Sorry. You got to blow yourself. I can watch. I'll drop a digit on you, but I can't chance it.
Let's test this.
Well, what does she say? What does she say happens if she has Red Dye 40?
Well, she gets like a headache and stomach ache. It's not like anything.
Hold on a second. People get headaches from things. Weaker, generally, like... There's just people who get stuff from stuff who feel like here's the whole thing. you can have a headache, like you broken arms, you can take x-rays on, and there are things you can kind of are definitive.
I'm always suspicious of, yeah, because I'm not someone who gets headaches from stress, I'm always suspicious of the people who are getting headaches all the time.
Yeah, and it's not just stress, but the people go, if I have chocolate, not dark chocolate, but milk chocolate because of the dairy, and you go, are you that delicate that these, I always suspect that if you put red dye number 40 in whatever and didn't tell her it was in whatever, she'd take it and wouldn't get a headache.
Is this red dye number 40?
Yeah.
No, that's or, number 39.
That's
or
right.
If it becomes like, I can't have the dairy and the light chocolate, like, just say no thanks. Like, do we need a life story? Just
well,
say
I,
no thanks on the chocolate.
I agree, but see, for me, these people, it never exists in a vacuum. It's not just this. It's that they're wildly annoying beyond this. And it becomes a sort of a narcissism.
Your girlfriend sounds lovely.
Yes. No, no. It's narcissism because it's, I can't have, is there a, these are the fucking people, fucking pussies out there that claim if they drink regular coffee before noon or after noon, on they'll be bouncing, they'll be crawling off the walls at 2 a.m. that night. It's fucking drives me insane.
Jeez, give me some of that coffee.
I know, me too. And then they'll accuse people, the waitress must have messed up and given me, like, are you that fucking light of weight? Is she annoying other than this, Tim?
No, not at all, dude. She's, like, totally chill. But the point is, if I were to test her with this, how would I even come out and be like, oh, boom, gotcha, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you sneak a meatball up her ass. You got to wait till she falls asleep. I think you should talk to a doctor with her and get her tested. We'll go to one of those allergists. Yeah.
Hey, right. As of this point, it is self-diagnosed.
Well, yeah.
As an overall philosophy, though, what do you think about just don't buy the frozen meatballs? Treat yourself better. Buy the meat and make meatballs. It's one of the easiest things to make, and it's going to taste better. You're probably going to feel better.
I agree, but if she is looking for this, see, that's the whole thing. If she's looking for red dye number 40, she will find it in just about everything on the planet. And she's looking for it, because she's not looking for red dye number 40. She's looking for an excuse to have a headache.
And Tim, if you do this thing where you, without her knowing it, slip it into something, that's not going to go well.
Right.
If it ever gets found out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It turns out she'll be allergic to the relationship.
That's right. Tim, anything else? Do we need to know? She's a survivor of incest or anything like that?
As far as I know, no. So
just red dye number 40.
It's red dye 40. That's it.
Just shop at the fucking Whole Foods. I know it's ridiculously expensive, and you're in Baltimore, so you've never heard of it. But fly out to California, shop at the – just go to the Health
Food
store.
That'll keep the cost down.
I don't know. I mean, look, you're not going to be able to eat at Pizza Hut. Cry me a river.
Right. It's unbelievable how much bullshit is in.
Yeah, okay, Tim, don't start buying into it as well. Listen, everybody. It's good to eat healthy, but let's not get fanatical about it. The people, all those pussy assholes out there is like, oh, okay, so let me kind of give you the graph of when I eat red meat. When I eat red meat, at first, you know, first I flatline for a little, but then it starts hitting my stomach and the blood starts going to it and I start peaking, but then I bottom out. You know, after that, and then
that's all the blood in your body leaves wherever it is and goes straight to the meat. You have zero blood in the rest of your body.
The next day, let me guess, you feel fantastic. You go into an iron cross on the rings that are hanging in your fucking bedroom.
Sometimes it lasts for a week.
Depressed.
I feel sluggish. I feel bloated. Well, I guess the American decathlon team is going to have to win its own gold this year. I love it when they do that. Like, I feel, and then there's always some Nimrod next to them. Oh, yeah. The problem is they don't have anyone going, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? You feel fucking sluggish and bloated. Outburger? Are you fucking nuts? You're a mental patient. So don't be an enabler. Don't be the person that's like, Don't be that person.
But are you the person who's supposed to call them out on it every single day?
I not every single day, but let's not build a life around red dye number 40.
Well, go to the allergist.
Or go to the allergist.
Let's apply science and find out for sure.
Okay, let's see. Question. How did Adam meet Allison?
Yes.
Jason. Baltimore?
Yes, yeah.
Hey, man, you know this dude with the red dye number 40 bullshit?
No.
Sure?
No, I'm on the other side of town, I must be.
Because we're both calling from Baltimore.
Can't think of another explanation.
Think hard. I like when people... Hold on.
You know, Tim.
How condescending is it when someone tells you to think harder?
Think harder.
Like I always go, oh, yeah, I was kind of a half think. You want full think?
Or they just stretch out the name, you know, Tim.
Oh, I do have two hemispheres. I was just using one.
What are you, in second grade?
think harder. Think about it. I like when you start to answer no and someone stops you and saying, think about it. I like that one, too. Like, you're right. I'm going to fucking change my mind if you give me another 5 minutes to be pissed at you. How often does that work? You know what? I have thought about it. You're right. All right. Sorry. Where were we? Line three. Allison. Well, we needed a new news girl, so we went on a search, and I believe Allison was the best.
Thank you.
I think that's how we met Allison. But
smattering.
Yes. She was the best and the brightest.
We had a series of news girls come in for essentially tryouts, and Allison wowed us.
She wowed us. Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Because I've heard all the other stories from how you and Brian met and Jimmy and everybody else. I never knew how you met Allison.
It was an audition.
Audition, and she did the best. And Brian, phone screener over at Loveline.
It was a fat phone screener over at Loveline. Oh, it was 10 years ago, probably. Well, it might have been more now at this point.
What year did you start at Loveline?
I started at K-Rock in 2001, and a year later I was on Loveline. So it would have been 12 years now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm. Miss me some... Cool. It was a fat, bald Brian. Oh, how many pounds ago was that?
At my heaviest, right around that time in my life, I was 55 pounds heavier than I am now.
55.
Actually, it might be 56, but you know what I'm saying. It's 55-ish. And it was just... it was, you know what it was? It was probably similar to Tim, our previous caller from Baltimore, buying a lot of frozen meatballs, things of that nature, not really thinking about what I was putting in my body. I ate better, and I started exercising.
I remember being impressed because I always used to say, fat, bald, and makes $8 an hour, and yet full of himself.
At the time, you said he loves life.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Look at that. We're looking at a fat, bald Brian.
I can show you a worse picture. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. The good old days back at old Westwood.
Who are those 13-year-olds working for you?
Well, that's Lauren.
Yeah, that's junior producer Lauren. She used to hate it when I do that. But
may have left out a junior. Or put an extra one in, actually.
121 in? I don't think that was Chris.
No, that's just probably a publicist or something.
I don't think Chris came around. It was one of our bones of contention or one of our things where Chris had a bit of a palsy.
Yeah, he has EP.
I don't know.
Almost positive.
I don't know what he had, but he had something. Mm-hmm. Nice guy, but he had a little something going on. Sort of, I was a little lazy. He didn't have tremors.
No, he had a weak side. Underdeveloped arm, I would say.
He had a weak side. And, I would say to him, he was engineering. I guess he was kind of engineer. He used to be in the room.
He was a board. He started off as a board up.
But he ended up in the room with us. And no one there quite shared my sense of humor or had a sense of humor or appreciated anything about anyone's sense of humor.
Anderson.
Chris would have been one of them. I think it must have been. It had to be more than a coincidence. It must have been part of the criteria for hiring over there. They just hold up a picture of me and go, do you think this guy's funny? And if they said yes, they'd say, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But Chris would be sitting there and I'd say, so Chris, what do you want to do? What's the plan? Big picture. What's going on? I think he was working at a Starbucks in like Pasadena during the day or something. And I said, but big picture. What are you here for? What do you want to learn? What do you want to know? And he'd go like, on the air talent? I'd say, on the air talent, huh? Yeah. This would be on the air. And I'd say, not behind the scenes? Shake his head. You know, I'd go, people can't hear, they can't see what you're doing, Chris. Oh. Yeah. Yes, on the air or behind the scenes? Air. And then I'd go, well, look, if that's something you want to pursue, you're going to have to step it up a little bit. You're going to have to burn a couple calories. You're going to have to pull up to the micro. And Drew would always be like, look, come on, leave him alone. Leave him alone. And I'd go like, what do you mean, leave him alone? He wants to be on-air talent. It's
his disability, by the way, is purely physical. Like, he was mentally all there. He's the nice guy and a sharp guy, but
yeah,
he wasn't like he was picking on someone who was, you know, mentally.
But is that why Drew was protective of
him? It may have been.
Drew would protect anybody I stepped up with, but as I say to Drew all the time, you'd never do this with your kids. Like, if they just went like, not into math, you know, he wouldn't go, okay, back off. You know, he'd go, what do you mean you're not into math? You better start getting into math. You want to go to college? You get into math. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get you into math. You're getting a math tutor. And you ain't going out Saturday night unless you start getting into math. Like, that's how Drew runs his own life. But when it comes to other people, and this is what I disagree with, you know, it's looked at as, why are you attacking him? But it was more like, hey, buddy, if you want
to... You were trying to help him.
I wasn't even trying to help him. I'm really not that nice a guy. But okay. I was like, I will tell you how to get on the air. Or I will attempt to coach you up to get on the air. Whether you do it or not, I don't give a fuck. And I still don't give a fuck. He wasn't, you know, wasn't a bad guy, wasn't a good guy, wasn't any guy. He was just a guy. He was one of the many people that floated through that place and didn't give a shit. And I would say to him, though, speak up. Stand up, have a voice, have an opinion, and say it into the mic, if that's what your aspirations are. And then he'd go, yeah. And then Drew would go, leave him alone. And I'd go, you telling me to leave him alone is going to hurt him more than me not leaving him alone. And you would, again, you don't subscribe to that in your own life and with your own kids. Why now? It's a certain kind of form of ism. It's a kind of, you can't handle this, which is the ultimate sort of looking down on somebody. And I feel like everyone's pretty much capable of doing whatever if they step up, or if someone tells them to step up.
Or if they're showing, yeah, give them the tools or showing the path or advice or whatever.
I will at least show him the respect of treating him like an equal.
Right.
By explaining to him what it would take to get on the air.
It's interesting. Drew kind of has this relationship with other people around him where he views them as like broken birds.
That's right. Absolutely. And I like to back over eggs. That's the difference. I can catch them early. Hey, Mike, 37, LA.
Hey, what's happening,
gang? What's going on, man?
So, a little phenomenon that's been happening lately is the receipt checkers at, said stores like Best Buy or whatever. What do you think about that?
When you're walking out of the place?
Yeah, and they have to highlight whatever they are highlighting.
I think it's right up there with the TSA guy who has the highlighter, makes his or her mark on the thing.
A very elaborate little mark, too, by the way, usually.
Yes, and there's a lot of staring. There's a lot of this, a lot of staring down, staring up, staring down. The occasional, could you take your hat off? Like your hair's going to come off with it and the mustache, you know what I mean? So they do that, and then they make their mark. But I suspect this is all just part of the ruse of somebody doing something. There's someone there. You have a ticket. You have an ID. I don't know what they have to do. I like it when you go to like Home Depot and you buy, you know, 129 finish washers and 129 lock washers and 129 whatever, and the thing gets 4 feet long, and the guy with the GED and the lazy eye looks at it for a three Mississippi and goes, all right. Hands to he really just wants to know if you start running or you look like a gangbanger. It's really just kind of, I'm gonna hold this thing up, I'm gonna look at you for a second, and I'll get the fuck out of here. I think that's the process. Is there's a guy with a windbreaker and he's standing there. So if you're planning on stealing something and you don't hit him with Santa's list of shit, he's gonna fucking blow a whistle or hit you with some mace or do something. But I don't think there's any way they could possibly ever go through all the washers, the nuts.
If you had that job, wouldn't you just be like, I just have to pretend I'm looking, and then I have to write on this done?
Yes. You do what I do when somebody hands me something like a cartoon that has more than three captions in it. I think, how long would it take a smart person to read this and then chuckle? But if I really took the time it took for me to actually read the entire thing, it'd be way too much time for the person. It'd be embarrassing. So what I do is I go, oh, yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
See, if I had that job, I'd be wanting to, like, look at the list of washers and nuts and bolts and be like, oh, no, these are the wrong bolts.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the wrong ones. You need to go back in.
Yeah. I would have fun and just circle one and go, it says here you paid for a half inch, but I'm eyeballing it. It looks like 9/16. So head back to the register and see if you can straighten that out.
They must be trained to look for something, because what are they?
They're
why even bother glancing?
they're just there. There's a part of life where we go, this guy, let's look at half of security. Nay, let's look at 87% of security. 87% of security does not have a weapon on them. Certainly physically doesn't look like they could handle anybody. Usually a little short and a little overweight, sometimes a female, older, doesn't look like they're going to take any perps down. They don't have anything. They're not going to run anyone down in a foot race. They're not going to tackle anybody, and they're not going to get him in a headlock and pop up with zip ties and the guy down with his hands around his back. It's just, they're there. I think a lot of it is insurance. They go, had security. And you go, yeah, but somebody walked in right through the front door and shot the whole place up. Now, if you don't have security, you're fucked.
You're liable.
Now you have security. Security is a guy with a ninth grade education, a windbreaker, and a belt that is through one loop but on the outside of the other loop on his blue weird pants. And he has nothing but his keys in his pants for a weapon and his cell phone to call somebody who might have a, you know, not his instructed to call 911 if he hears shooting. But technically there is security.
Yeah.
You're right, it's totally for insurance.
Right. What is most all, again, I'm not talking about airport, but I am talking about malls and Home Depots and all these kinds of places, whatever the fucking IKEA has or whatever. It's just a couple of people.
It's the human equivalent of the sign in front of your house that says protected by blank.
Right.
Right.
But you don't have anything hooked up to anything.
Right.
Right. That's what it is. All right. Give a little love to one of our fine sponsors. We'll take a quick break. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy football far from over. Some big games coming up this weekend. DraftKings, by the way, they gave $1 million to one lucky guy or girl. I'm going with dude.
Play the odds.
Just playing, playing the odds at DraftKings. How are you feeling about this weekend, Brian?
Nervous. I drafted my team last night. And like I said, there's only four teams left in this whole round and active in football right now. So mm-hmm. It's really coming down to, you know, backups. You've got to find a sleeper here or there. I bet on the I put my faith into the Patriots and the Niners. So we'll see how that goes.
DraftKings, baby. They're going to give away $200 million before the dust settles on the season. DraftKings, Dawson.
DraftKings is letting Adam Carolla listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
All right. Brody Stevens waiting out there. Matt Atchity, everybody. Rotten Tomatoes. RottenTomatoes.com is where you go. I swear to God, I must go once a day just to check up on things. God bless you. We'll take a quick break. Back with Brody Stevens next.
Allison Rosen.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison. From Allison Rosen is your new best friend. On Monday, I sat down with our very own Dawson, and we talked about all sorts of stuff, including Corolla digital farting etiquette, never taking the first offer, and how he got into radio.
I was probably 5 years old. I'd need to check with my mom, but we're driving around in the Opel, and a radio DJ would come on, and he'd say something, and I remember turning down the radio and then saying what he said and trying to say it better.
Uh-huh.
My mom kind of laughed and said, I know what you're going to be. And it turned out that way.
And then on Thursday, I was joined by Gary, Chris, Matt, and Jenna, and we learned that Chris knows every single line of Mighty Ducks 2. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
The Adam Carolla Show honors journalistic excellence with another great moment in local news.
Bieber was not arrested, but Smith, also known as Lil Za, was rebooked at the jailhouse just before his release tonight because he smashed a cell phone. Oh, well, we're going to talk about some
the weather right now. I guess we could, yeah.
We will in a minute.
Yeah, Jackie's here right now. Or we could talk about this, a very dire traffic warning about the upcoming shutdown of the stretch of the 405. It's being called Jamzilla.
There will be music to Jamzilla, don't you think?
Something on YouTube, yeah. You're probably right.
The spirit of Murrow and Cronkite live on. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I love all the nervous laughter. There was none of that going on when I did Loveline, by the way. I missed that. Brody Stevens in studio.
Taking off my jacket.
Brody, known for quite some time. I think I saw him last when I did The Burn, as I said. Jeff Ross's show, which I'm guessing isn't coming back because...
It's still not officially gone. And I don't want to... I have sources.
Oh, you do?
So, yeah.
Brody, by the way, is doing a documentary series following Brody alongside...
So you want to know what his sources say?
Zach Galifianakis. Well, they say it's not... officially gone.
Exactly.
But they're not saying it's on or off. Could come back. I thought it was fun, and I feel like people enjoyed it, but who the hell knows?
You crushed it, I remember. You did really well on there.
Thank you. I got a little nervous when I realized that everyone else wrote jokes in advance, and I didn't have any jokes. Normally, I'm all right winging it, but this was sort of joke-specific for the topics, but it ended up being...
You were crushing somebody in a... Who do you remember who you did it with?
Michael Ian Black.
And Sherrod Small.
Ooh.
I think. Because I remember I saw you.
Yeah.
And I was like blown away by how good you were.
You crushed it, Adam.
Well, thanks. I remember thinking, that's Jeff. We'll go up there and wing it. And then I saw everyone with all their jokes and all the stuff. And it got kind of specific with the jokes. And then I realized, this is kind of like a roast. And I always say a roast.
What's the name?
Yeah, roast a little different beast in that you do need to have jokes lined up for a roast. It's not the normal wing it kind of mode that a lot of people are in.
You can wing it on a roast.
You can. I've seen guys do it, but it doesn't always turn out that good for them.
I don't roast very often. I did The Burn and I had my jokes and I was able to go beyond them a little bit, but I recently did a roast for the Iron Sheik. It was up in Toronto. It was a couple months back.
Sure.
And I was nervous about roasting, but I didn't. I had a few jokes ready, but I was just went in there because it wasn't on TV or anything, so I didn't have that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys all had jokes. They ripped, and then the guy on before me tanked and was uncomfortable, and then I just went up. So I've done tons of warm-up. I've been in those situations, and I just... winged it. I just went down the line. Boom, boom, Gilbert Godfrey. Boom. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. I attacked the other guy, went after the crowd. So I brought energy there. And so I lucked out.
Saw you hosting TMZ.
Oh, yeah.
They love you over there.
Not anymore.
What happened?
Well, because that was when I was going manic, kind of. You know, I hosted. I was off. That was like I was on a bender when I hosted that show.
What kind of bender?
Well, I was off. I was off my meds. That was part of my problem. I had come back from Montreal. That's when I kind of started adjusting my meds. I got sick. That was kind of what I put into that HBO Comedy Central show. But when I did TMZ, I was at the height of my mania, and that's mm-hmm. what got me going. I did well on it. I started getting positive feedback, and Harvey Levin liked me, 818 Jewish. I created a TMZ sports department. I was doing all this crazy stuff. And then somebody said, Harvey Levin thinks what you're doing is an act. It's fake. And then I said, fuck you, Harvey Levin. I said that on my Twitter. And then it freaked them out. The whole TMZ people were freaked out. And I haven't been on since. And I know the camera guys will tape me, but they never put me on, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, I've seen
with all they say about celebrities, all you have to say is fuck you, Harvey Levin, and they lose their shit.
I did it. They were freaked out.
Wow.
They hired extra security because I was fucking pissed. I was manic, but I wasn't going to hurt anybody.
I've seen you interviewed out in front of the Melrose Improv and places like that.
Yeah, it's fun to
frequent.
Do.
I can think of, by the way, from In Living Color, I'll narrow it down, the black guy from In Living Color.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
Also known for the Pizzone commercials on, like, Pizza Hut. Oh, boy. Now we got to get the cast laid out. It's not anybody, the least known of the brothers, the little guy, the comedian. You'll know who he is.
You want me to say who?
Yeah.
Is it Marlon Wayans?
No.
Is it a Wayans?
No.
It's not a Wayans.
Not a Wayans.
You got thrown off because he said brothers, thinking he meant the Wayans brothers.
Oh, sorry.
I meant Wayans brothers.
So you know this guy. You know the guy now.
No, I'm trying. His name is
not
escaping
Tommy
me. Yeah, Tommy Davidson.
Oh, it is. Oh,
okay. I would have gotten that.
Yeah, well, that's...
Good guess, Brian.
No, I didn't know. I didn't think he was. I didn't think he was unknown enough, but apparently that.
Well, no, he was out of that group
of the original cast. Yeah, it's a good point.
He, we know the rest. Well, you're either. I mean, to me, you're either Wayne's brother, or you're David Alan Grier, or you're Jim Carrey, or you're that. That's what that left Tommy Davidson to me. But I saw Tommy Davidson when we did the. I sat next to him on the flight home, actually, when we did the Hugh Hefner roast in New York a million years ago, and I saw a guy basically wing it, which was Tommy. And then when the thing aired, we got a picture of the Wayans brothers, but yeah, Tommy Davidson would be a better picture to have. When they aired the actual roast on Comedy Central, he was not included.
Oh.
Which everybody gets their shit knocked down from 17 minutes to 3 minutes, and you hope they leave in your cool jokes, and maybe you do 12 minutes and they knock you down to $1.50 or something like that. But to be completely snipped, not
what
a good sign.
What was the reaction at the time like, or in the room like?
Mass hysteria.
Was it because he went off the cuff and it wasn't funny, or he went off the cuff and it just wasn't usable?
I don't think there was a lot there that they could use in the comedy department. That's I think that's my recollection of it. And I remember thinking at the time, as big a pain in the ass as it is, load up a handful of jokes before you go up there. Now, the burn is different because there's a group of people up there and it's back and forth and it's a little more give and take. And thus, you're not just standing there alone at a podium, which will burn you. Galifianakis. So the documentary, by the way, first season just finished up on Comedy Central. Brody Stevens, enjoy it. Zach, I feel like I know him a little bit, but I don't feel like I know him that well. I just feel like he gives you a character or something sometimes a little bit, but you must
he's
know.
A little, I would say he's a little aloof, if that, in real life, maybe, with people.
Right. Yeah, not necessarily in a negative way, but just sort of, pushes a character out there for you to enjoy, but you don't feel like, I don't feel like I know exactly who he is.
Now, are you saying based off the performances in the movies or in the TV shows or in real life, like at a party?
Small interactions I've had with him, you know.
Okay, well, he's...
But he seems like a good guy.
He's a very good guy.
Smart guy.
Super
thoughtful.
Smart. I mean, look, he puts up with me. He is open enough to allow me to be who I am, which is a blue-collar Jewish guy from the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
The complete opposite.
Jew-collar.
Jew-collar. So... Zach is a great guy, but I think at first it might take a few times to get through that guard.
And what happened when you hosted for me on this show? I've never heard the episode. All I just heard is that there were some Twitter wars, people are outraged, and that was about as far as I got with it. I think it was about, it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I was shooting a sitcom, and that's about all I remember. What is your recollection of it, or your side of the story?
Okay, my side of the story. I do remember it. I was booked to do the show. Mike August said, "You want to come in and do the show?" So I thought I was going to be a guest on Adam's show, or there's going to be another guest host, and I was going to be a guest. So I get here,
October 2010, by the way.
Okay, 2010,
a month before we met.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. So I get here, and then I hear that I found out that I'm going to host the show.
When you arrive, upon arrival.
Right.
Well, now.
So I believe so.
Okay.
So I get there, and this is the early stages of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because was I playing to the camera? Was I playing to the, I was being Brody right off out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I learned from that podcast and a couple other podcasts after that, that you just got to talk and be chill and mellow. And I was performing, putting that energy out. Yes, you got it. If you know me, it's funny for the most, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And you're into it. I know. But if you don't know me, you're not going to like it. And you're going to be, I got a lot of negative feedback, hurtful, attacking.
What, and as somebody who was on medication at the time?
This was before
needed to be on
TMZ.
Medication?
No.
No, but
I was on Lexapro when I hosted your show.
What I'm saying is is somebody who I'm sorry, but precariously perched popped in my mind. But it's somebody who's sensitive, emotional.
I am.
Then
I am.
All these rocks and arrows being slung your way from my fans had to hurt.
It hurt,
and you took it personally,
of course,
and got into it with some of the people. Or,
well, I mean, I'm a baseball player. Mm-hmm. If you dig in on me, I'm gonna frickin'
throw it at your head.
I'm gonna fucking throw a fastball, knock you down, then throw a curveball, make you look bad. Then fucking throw a fastball and blow your ass away.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. I could pitch angry and
yeah.
do well. I can't do comedy angry. I can't podcast angry. But I can pitch angry.
Interesting.
So guy's going to dig in on me? Some fat fuck?
Uh-huh.
I'll fucking blow your ass away. That's how I pitched, Adam.
That's how you pitch. But now we're talking about Twitter wars or whatever
Okay. And that's what I'm adjusting with. I've gotten a lot better because there's no need for me to do it anymore.
As a comedian, there's just going to be X amount of that kind of stuff coming your way. Even the great ones, the Zach Galifianakis guy.
They didn't have
to feel that and hear that and get it from sometimes critics, just anonymous people on Twitter, whatever. The haters, as they say.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
So as, you know, as somebody who chose this for a profession, to sort of engage, I don't know, in a weird way, being a comedian is sort of like being a cop on a horse after, you know, a Detroit, you know, Pistons victory or loss. Like, you kind of have to just, like, move it along. If you're going to engage everybody who's going by you, you're going to have to get off the horse, and you're going to be rolling around on the street a lot. It's kind of moving on. Now, once in a while, some guy's going to fucking throw a rock at you or something. You really have to go after him. But by and large, there's going to be a lot of people running around, flipping you off, giving you BAs, calling you an asshole. And all you have to do is go, yeah, you're up on your horse. Like, move it along.
Well, I wasn't that confident at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, first of all, about comedy, I kind of backed into it. People said I was funny. So I said, okay, I'll try it. I took baseball as far as I could go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried acting, I guess, and then it turned into comedy. So it wasn't something that growing up, I'm going to be a comedian. I'm the next Andrew Dice Clay, the next. It was never that. So I guess I was funny. And so when people take shots at me, it did hurt. And then I had to learn to deal with it. You know, I had to learn to be professional. You know, I've done 2,500 television audience warm-ups. There have been some times where I'm dealing with bottom of the barrel paid audience members, Adam.
Yeah.
I figured out how to do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes on Twitter, which wasn't around. Richard Pryor never had to deal with Twitter.
No, Facebook. Now how's it going with the mental health, the meds, and that kind of stuff?
Okay. I feel a lot better. I'm on a solid med program. I am detoxing from Klonopin. I mean, I was put through the ringer. The way I was acting, I had to be put on something.
Right. So what do you got going now?
Well, right now I'm on Lamictal. Dr. Drew said, that's my safety net.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said, and so to my doctor, they said, as long as it's a mood stabilizer, that is basically, I won't go too high, I won't go too low. It's a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Lexapro. I'm not on it.
Is it for manic depression?
It's for because I fucked up. I had a manic episode. However it happened, I feel I went off my meds cold turkey. It was just a perfect storm. Went off my meds. I was in Montreal. I was in an antibiotic because I got sick. I hosted TMZ. I had this HBO thing. I was just revved up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just revved up, and that's what happened. So,
what was, like, the final straw that made it so that people had to take action?
I was saying crazy stuff on Twitter. I mentioned a gun. I was, you know, saying, I said, fuck you, Adam Carolla.
Oh, you did.
Because I was upset about that.
That's all right.
That what happened.
I don't mind.
When I hosted.
I'm a cop on the horse. Keep moving. Enjoy your victory.
So I mean, I went after people, but it was just, that's what was going on. But when I said gun, which I never had, and I said that so people would, like, leave me alone. I got a gun back, which I never did. And then that's when they kind of took action, and I got thrown into the UCLA hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I was there for I was basically at a rehab. I was on a bender. It was crazy. So that's when they put me on all those drugs, Seroquel, Depakote. They have to. It's just
right. Now,
to
now,
knock you down.
Will you be on these drugs for the foreseeable future?
No.
We'd be on any drugs for the foreseeable future?
I mean, my goal is to not be on meds. Mm-hmm. I'm on basically one med right now. I take Lamictal, that mood stabilizer. Mm-hmm. I am on Klonopin. I take very little, and I'm detoxing from it. It's hard. My palms are sweating. I am a little – I can get worked up a little bit because I don't have that – my body has to – physically wants it, and then I also have to get adjusted to not having that buffer there. And then the other thing I factor in, I'm older, I'm wiser, I'm going to do the yoga, the therapy, talking.
Sure.
I have all – so to pop a pill and go, I want more pills? No, I'm actually
getting
down.
I wonder what performers, but especially comedians, it'd be easy to sit down with Dr. Drew and see all the greats, the Lenny Bruces and aforementioned Richard Pryors and guys like that, and go, who would be on what? If they're around today,
something.
To feel like everybody, but maybe Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, or maybe Ollie would be on Lexapro or something like that. Oh, it's an old puppet show. The point is definitely everyone would be on something, I'm assuming, but with the exception of maybe Bob Hope, but his writers would all be on something. I just feel like, I know Richard Pryor would be on something, and maybe these guys self-medicated with booze and cocaine and what have you, heroin.
They self-medicated, smoked pot. I think a lot of comedians today, I think a lot of them smoke pot.
A lot of them
smoke
pot.
I do a joke, 80% of all comedians smoke pot. The other 20%, they're not funny. It's a big joke I do.
I would say they eat the pot.
They eat it. It's probably healthier. They vaporize. Yeah. I would say there's a handful, a fair amount of, I don't want to say who, guys who take antidepressants. I talk, so it is out there.
Are you interested in, I always say whenever they do these school shooting stories or these rampage stories or whatever this is, whatever goes on, crackpot number 7 goes into supermarket and shoots God knows who. And always we engage in this gun talk, and it's always this stupid thing of, well, did it have a clip that held 9 or 12, mm-hmm. and then where do they get these guns, and how do they get, and it's like, there's guns everywhere all the time. Let's talk about mental health.
Okay.
Can we talk about that? I just want there to be, I've always wanted there to be more of a dialogue about mental health. It's always about the kid and how come no one on the campus knew, and how come his parents didn't know, and how did he get the gun, but that's all fine. But let's all focus on the bigger picture here, which is the mental health. Unfortunately, because there's as many guns as there are Americans floating around, that's going to be a tough bell to unring and a tough horse to get back in the barn. But the mental health part, it's stigmatized. It's rarely discussed. I mean, it's discussed, but not the way it should be.
Yeah.
And there's certainly not too many comedians who discuss it. Brody, that could be you.
Well, I am. I've taken the torch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't I never thought I would go public with everything. I went on Twitter. I was out there. So when I was in the hospital when I thought about this HBO show, I shot the pilot. That's all we had done. So mm-hmm. they ordered the show based off the pilot. So I was just had another thing, just revving up, ready to go.
By the way, don't put the I have a gun and I shot the pilot in the same Twitter. The same tweet,
okay,
because with the short amount of characters and the way people read these days,
you'll end up on a list.
You could have a lot of feds like rappelling down from helicopters.
So I went public on Twitter because I was on a bender, craziness, and then I was in the hospital and I said, why don't I? Because I was getting people were into it, and then I just felt like maybe I'll do a show talking about getting out of the hospital and getting back on TV. I still had to do a show, but that's where my mind was. And then I said, it was kind of weird talking about it, like the first time, like what are people going to think about me? But then just more and more you hear people being more open. I've heard people talk about medications. I don't know what the stigma is, but We talk about mental health. I feel we got to really utilize these other things, yoga, therapy, podcasting. Let's not just pop a pill. And these kids are soft. I played sports. You know, sometimes you got to be tough.
No, listen, I tell everybody, put on some classical music, put your headphones on and start going on for go for long walks. And then if at the end of that you're depressed or you don't feel like you have any energy or you feel like the world's coming down on you, then go see your doctor. But first, drop 30 pounds, wake up every morning, do 50 push-ups and go for a run. And then tell me at the end of the day. You know, the thing that's weird is I started to sort of notice it. All the guys I work construction with, there's two things they don't really seem to possess. A lot of them are just hardworking Latino guys, but some pale faces in there as well. And I'd say brothers, but I've never worked with a black guy or I don't think a Jew for that matter either. I'm not into hammering and nails. One of those Los Angeles things. But either way, these guys, their mood is always stable. Mm-hmm. Like they do physical work all day, and they're always in the same mood. Every morning, you see him, it's like, hey, boss, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Good. It's never like, oh, man, oh, don't get me started. Oh, man. Like, first off, they don't have these sort of ups and downs. Second thing they don't have is food allergies. Nobody's lactose intolerant. No one can handle, you know, dairy or no one can glucose or gluten or whatever. No, they're not big thinkers. They're more just like happy dogs who just kind of go about their day and you go on a lunch run for these guys and buy In-N-Out for all of them, and they're happy as a fucking clam.
You.
They're friendly and they're easy. You say to them, you know, what's going on this weekend? They're going like, hey, we're going to have a couple cervezas, and I'm going to play soccer with my son on Saturday. I coach the team. And it's never like, oh, man, you know, what's going on in the Middle East? And they're never bummed out or they never thought. It's just not a lot of talk about their old lady or themselves or their dad or their parents or they're so upset over their parents that they can't get over the anger. Like, whatever it is, they just work all day.
Because they're working.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they're tired. And I just feel like us sitting in a cubicle and staring at a computer screen reading shit about ourselves.
Terrible.
It's not what we were physically meant to do. We were sort of physically meant for the sun to come up, the birds to start chirping, somebody to go off, wake up. You know, you hear those bird chirps. You hear that fucking leaf blower. You realize it's time to get up. And then you go out and you till some soil. You put some thatch roof on or something. You get tired. You come home and you're like hungry and you got a little sunburn on the back of your neck. And that's about all you've been thinking about is how to get that roof done the entire day. And I like progression and I like all the artists and I like all the thinking and all that. But I always think we're turning on ourselves.
I honestly think someone saying something shitty to you in person is easier to deal with than someone saying something shitty about you on the internet, because our brains can't process what it means to read something shitty about yourself on the internet, and suddenly you think it's like it represents a lot more people.
Exactly. I don't want to say I hate social media and I hate the internet. Honestly, I don't read. I don't Google my name. It's not healthy. It's not. It doesn't. It gets my blood boiling. So that's not good. So I learned that. I learned that that could be a trigger point for me. And also, Comedy Central, they follow me. I can't get in a Twitter war. Doug Herzog follows me. So I'm saying F you to some kid in a shack in Iowa. It's bad. I know it looks bad. So I just have to bite my... you know what? It is bad. There's nothing good about it. Once in a while, I'll slap somebody. Rarely. But before, I used to get heated, blood going, and I'd go, that's terrible. But again, that wasn't around 10 years ago. Facebook wasn't around. And that's another reason why I started... I think when I came back to Los Angeles... Because I lived in New York. I wasn't on any kind of antidepressant. And I came back here, and then, you know, Facebook came out, MySpace, emails going strong. And it's like, a lot, and I'm a comedian. I mean, that's what I was doing. I got to write jokes. I got to book gigs. I got to work. I got to also exercise. I've got to do these things. And now you got this social media stuff. And, you know, I want to start reading a book. That's why I'm so relieved now. I love leaving my phone in the car. Give me a book and a notepad.
Yeah, everybody should either have a kid or rent one that they can just go outside and fucking throw a ball around with. It's just, you need it.
You
All
do.
Right. Get the news queued up. I'm going to tell the good folks listening about something else they're going to need. LifeLock, baby. Oh, man. Identity thieves are shrewd. They're out there. They're coming for you and your money as well, Allison.
Yeah, a Georgia man suspected of selling the identities of more than 100 people was arrested recently. And during the week-long investigation preceding it, he sold the identities to an undercover deputy. So I love that there's whole sting operations happening.
You have to. And it's just one of those costs of doing business things. I was just talking about this with Dr. Drew today. I just said, look, you have those things, those cell phones and your laptop, and you know, take your credit card and drop it into your parking meter and get your 2 hours and don't have to deal with having the exact change and all that. ATMs and banks and cash whenever you want it. A lot of conveniences, but with it comes a little responsibility. 2014, this is like you need car insurance. LifeLock guards your identity and credit score and even, by the way, monitors your bank accounts for takeover fraud. Dawson.
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam or call and use promo code Adam for a special 10% discount. That's promo code Adam to get a special 10% discount. Call 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
All right, let's do a little news. Brody, you hang
I love
in?
The news.
Crack wise.
The news with Allison yes. Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cut. It's Allison. Allison.
You know, Adam, I got a tweet from someone saying that you and I had missed the boat because you have the new product Brosé coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you should have called it Allison Rosé.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think Brosé is better, but I appreciate it.
Brosé.
All right. Brody, so you're right. It could have been Brodé.
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 So we talked a bit about the Oscars earlier, but just a little more about that. The nominations were announced Thursday morning. Gravity and American Hustle both got 10 nominations. 12 Years a Slave trailed closely with 9 nominations. And among the 9 films nominated for Best Picture are those three, along with Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, Nebraska, Wolf of Wall Street, and Philomena.
Mm-hmm.
Which Philomena. I keep wanting to say is Philomena. Yeah.
Captain Philomena?
Captain Philomena.
Oh.
To the Lido deck. I don't think I'm going to see Philomena. I don't know why.
Does it tickle your fancy? Do you have the screener?
I might.
That's Julie Dench, right?
Sir Julie Dench.
That's right.
Tom Hanks did not get a nomination for Captain Phillips. Again, like we said, Redford did not get a nomination for All Is Lost and has never won an Oscar. Best Actor nominees. When Achity said it, I was like, remember how he said it? Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Chiwetel.
Yeah.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, like it's written.
is that from American Hustle, the guy?
From 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Dern, Leonardo DiCaprio, Matthew McConaughey, and Christian Bale.
Bruce Dern seems like he would smell.
Oh, geez.
Doesn't he seem like
what?
He would smell? Like, not good, but not bad that you can put your finger on.
The musty.
Oh, I hate that.
You know,
old man smell, maybe.
It's funky hair meets thick sweater.
That's senior citizen.
Yeah, it's a kind of a dandery smell.
Like a scalp smell, because that's one of the worst
smells.
Yeah,
like an old... Yeah, I don't know why, quietly, worse than fart. As I've said, belch worse than fart for some reason.
Right.
I think it's the novelty of it and the information. Like
packed into it, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Best Actress nominees, Amy Adams, Kate Blanchett. Or is it Blanchett?
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock. I just call her Sandy. Julie Dench and Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy hitters.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I just feel like I don't want Amy Adams to win. I don't want to cry thanking her fucking kid who gave her the courage to act.
I don't think she will.
Okay, she did good. That at one point somewhere?
During the Golden Globes. Her child is 3, gave her the whatever it was. My kids sent.
She taught her to let go of fear.
Kids haven't done shit for me. Yeah, let go of fear. Taught her to let go of fear.
Well, I don't think she'll be winning because I went straight to the gambling sites upon seeing this, and Kate Blanchett is the prohibitive favorite at like -800 or something like that.
She's like the Robert De Niro of women.
Yeah,
she's good.
I hear she's fantastic.
Apparently, I haven't seen Blue Jasmine yet, but
I have the screener. I've seen half of it, and she's pretty unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Andrew Dice Clay is in it, straight, serious guy.
Yeah, I think he's – well, if you really think about Dice, his act – you know, Seinfeld is Seinfeld, but Dice is an act, and so he's an actor.
Yeah.
Who's
constantly performing.
Yep.
Playing a comedian, so why wouldn't he be a good actor? His whole persona is an act.
Yep.
But he's also a comedian, Adam. He's good. He's good.
Oh, yeah, I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I like
it. Back on the mound, I'm sorry.
A little chin music. What I'm saying is he has said it himself many times.
Yes.
That's an act. The Dice
it's an
Man.
Act, yes.
I mean, he does it well, and there's a lot of him in it, but that's the Dice Man.
Yeah.
So when it comes time for an acting role, why wouldn't he be a good actor?
Agreed. Speaking of Oscar-nominated movies, have you seen 20 Feet from Stardom yet? It's up for Best Documentary.
I just was going down the sort of list of documentaries and seeing if I'd seen any of them. They don't give them out in the screener form that often, and I don't know why.
I don't know either. Number one, that's the only one I've seen of the five. Three of the five are streaming on Netflix. If you have Netflix, you can stream them. But 20 Feet from Stardom is a movie you would like, most people would like. It's really fun, really good. And
what is it about?
It's about backup singers through sort of rock history and their impact and influence, how they kind of got under the radar, but they make a lot of the songs better. It's really a good movie.
Okay.
It's like the audience warm-up guy.
Yeah.
You can relate to it.
Yeah.
Always in the background.
It's pretty by the way, in terms of my career aspirations, audience warm-up guy was as high as I ever set the bar. Laugh it up. But I knew Jim O'Doherty.
Okay.
And we can
see
probably look up
guy?
Jim O'Doherty. I think it was O'Doherty. And he did Married with Children,
mm-hmm.
and he was doing like American Gladiators
when
they came back.
Yeah.
And he was doing like America's Funniest, whatever, you know, big Vin DeBona guy. And you have to picture me as circa 1989, 1990, making $12 or $13 an hour as a carpenter. So, you know, a good week for me would be, you know, $500.
Yeah.
And he would say, and I'm fudging some of these numbers. Now that there's 5,000 TV shows, I don't know if the money, and I don't know what the network number is, but he would say, oh, I get $1,200 a night for doing Married with Children or whatever it was. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it was $900, maybe it was $1,600 or it was some astronomical. And I was, of course, was always doing the math. Yeah, that's Jim O'Doherty.
Plus all the bite-sized candy you can throw out.
Right. All the Skittles you can keister. And he'd say, well, I'd say, what is the schedule? He'd go, well, you know, they're in season 9, so pretty much runs itself. They start taping at 6. They show up about 5. Audience loads in about 5:15 or something. We're usually out of there by 7:15, 7:30. And I'll go, $1,200 for 2 hours is $600 an hour. Is breaking everything up into this hourly.
Mm-hmm.
You do a Wednesday night. You start work at 5. You're done at 7 on a Wednesday night. You make what I make in a month. Like, it was like this crazy for hanging out, asking people where they're from, and like kind of shooting the breeze. And then you go, yeah. And then when I'm done with that, I'll run over and do like they'll have me do like American Gladiator or something, and it'd be $1,000 or something. And I'd be like, wow. I don't know, like I'd do 2-3 shows a week, you know, and I'd be like, what the fuck? You making $2,500 a week? Like, and just working a couple hours a night, like, and hanging out,
mm-hmm.
and craft service and all the fucking, Ed O'Neill give you one of these, you know what I mean? Like, holy shit. I couldn't believe it.
David Faustino gives you a high five.
It's still that way, Adam.
I thought it was the sweetest gig.
Yeah.
The sweetest gig you could ever think of. And it is kind of quietly, kind of a sweet gig, right?
But it's hard. I'll tell you.
But it's better than going on the road, right?
It can be. But well, I mean, you're going to go on the road. You're going to really build up and you get to
audience.
Really be yourself.
What does it pay these days for like a network, you know, sitcom-y, 4-camera, multicam, you know?
Now, I don't do those because they are... There's more pressure. They're longer. You got to play it down the middle.
Right.
I'm thinking those guys are making, let's say, like a 2.5 men baby thing, probably $3,500. is my guess.
A night.
Maybe more. Well, yeah, per taping, because some guys double dip. Maybe he's Chuck Lorre's guy. He'll work two or three shows.
Right.
Me right now, I'm Comedy Central's guy. I do all the Comedy Central shows.
Right, and they get really territorial.
But I'm not. I'm not. Yeah, Adam.
Not you. No. I mean them. They'll go, we need this guy.
Oh, yeah.
They go, we need Jim to warm this crowd up. Otherwise, we're not going to have a good taping. And I'd always be thinking, he's not on camera. Just get anybody to get up. Oh, but, no. Show a highlight clips of, like, best of last season. No. They get almost superstitious about it.
Well, Brody could answer whether.
I could answer it, Allison. Thank you.
I'd rather let Brian, who's never done it before,
weigh in. I had a question. Maybe you can answer this. Do you think that some guys get the reputation as, like, good luck, you know what I mean? If they're on a show that goes the distance, like, oh, this guy's good luck, got to have him back for the second show.
They never want a break. If they got a guy and they're on a good roll, no, yes, they will be that.
Well, I did Best Damn Sports Show, 1,000 shows at Best Damn Sports Show with Tom Arnold, and that was 2 to 3 hours. It was every high school, every junior college, every branch of the military, every rehab group, every...
And there were 32 people in the audience.
We had up to 80, but it was actually a decent size. You were on a few times, more 30, than a few,
35 times, yeah.
But we had it was a small crowd, but I really cut my teeth there. Then I went to Chelsea, lately, and that was just a tightened up. 30 minutes, we're crushing it, and it didn't start out that way. I had to come in there and. Get this thing tight. Because...
But then what about the people who go, like, I don't want you to be too funny. Like, I don't want you to be a ton funnier than my monologue. Because the monologue, they have to do a new monologue every night. You get a new crowd so you can do the same bit, really hone the material and really make it sing. So in a way, the audience warm-up guy can be tighter and funnier than the person who comes out and has to sort of read the cue cards and kind of do these jokes for the first time ever.
Well, I explained it like that. What you just said, I'll say to the audience. I go, it's not about me. It's about these guys. So we'll have fun. I'll get the energy going, but it isn't about me. It's about making the show better. Your energy matters. I'll never, because I'm a comedian. You saw I get defensive with dice. It's like I'm instinct. I'm stand-up comedy in that world. So I'll do these shows. I did Chelsea. It was all stand-up comedians. And I know what it's like to have a joke fall flat and feel like, not good. So I just made sure I took care of all the comedians and got that audience in a rhythm where you don't let the joke drop. And I, you know what? A lot of times I got to make them laugh. I'm constantly orchestrating. Now that's Chelsea. I got that going. Now I'm at Midnight with Chris Hardwick. Same kind of vibe, three comedians. Now when I do, for example, I did Rob Dyrdek, Ridiculousness. It's a different vibe. Just sit back, talk to him, chill. Laugh,
but it's a good living.
Yes.
Like when you're a guy who's doing open mics at night and doing construction by day, and someone is talking about staying local, going to these places and interacting with the crowd, doing that kind of crowd work that I knew I was sort of inherently good at, and then getting paid $1,000 or $1,500 for the couple hours you were there that night. It sounded incredibly enticing to me.
But Adam, you talk about these construction guys. That's how it was for me, and I'm getting that way. We only do 3 days at Hardwick's, Chris's show, but Chelsea, it's like 5 days. Best Damn, 5 days, 4 to 5 days. And I would do the show. I'm putting out energy. And I would go home and fall asleep. I'd drive from the west side, get to the valley, and just crash out. Not do my spots at the Comedy Store. Not miss them, but just not do them. I would totally... It was never about me. Of course I want to get... I'm a comedian. I got an ego a little bit. But it is about the show. I put everything back into it. And the comedians appreciate it. Because I'm friends with them.
I tell you, nobody, I don't think anyone's friends with more comedians than Brody. Well, all right, Allison, I'm sorry. Where were we?
Okay.
Oh,
we were talking about the Oscars.
The Oscars. Yeah, that's right.
But let's talk about this Kate Gosselin and her her daughter's video
that a lot of
people online are talking about. So she was just on the cover of People magazine with her daughters, and they wanted to set the record straight.
Why?
And they basically are.
I have no idea what this is.
She has a bunch
of
kids.
John and Kate plus 8.
Yes.
I didn't watch it either, but. surely you know of it. So they were on the cover of People. The headline is Real Life with Our Mom. And they're setting the record straight in People magazine, explaining that life is normal for them. So then they're on the Today Show to promote it, and things did not go as planned.
Oh,
sassy. Let's watch. Or let's listen. Oh, we'll watch. You listen. No, maybe not. A little technical difficulty. I'll start explaining it, and then it'll pop up. But the girls are at that age, by the way. I don't know that there's a worse age for a girl and her mom than the girl being 13.
Mm.
I feel like at 12's better.
Every single 13-year-old hates their mom at some point.
Yes.
Right? Or right around there.
She seems extra hateable.
At 14, you're heading toward the light a little bit. But at 13, I think you just fucking hate your mom. And I don't know why. And I'm not sure biologically. Like, we're basically, you have to think of everything as 2,000 or 10,000 or a million years ago. Like, were they supposed to hate their mom and go out and procreate, like, at 13? Like, leave the hut?
Well, you're, like, but yeah, you're becoming a woman yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
women hate women.
Are we sort of asking them to do something that's biologically not in their DNA? Like, you're not going anywhere. You're not getting pregnant. You're not marrying Tobar in the hut next to you and getting a goat as a wedding gift. You're staying here for another miserable 6 years with your mom.
That's going to cause rebellion.
I think it's going to cause a problem. I just don't feel like dudes have that with their dad at all at 13. I mean, there is that always. There's always those hormones and rebellion in teens and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. But the energy my sister had with, like, mom and stepmom versus me going, these fucking losers, I'm getting out of this house. And I just go to my friend's house and wrestle with them and then eat. But I was never like, I'm gonna scrap with my mom. It's like, these guys are fucking losers. I'm getting out of here.
I was the same way, Adam, growing up in Tarzana. You know, my mom nagging me, Stephanie picking on me. I'd hang out with my dad, hang out with my friends. And
I included my dad in the loser group, though. But I would just go to my friends' houses and eat and fucking wrestle.
Yeah, we'd play baseball, ride our BMX
just play
bikes.
Sports.
Eat, fuck, and wrestle.
Yeah.
Football.
Not so much for the eat, beat off, and wrestle. Yeah. All right. Do we have the clip, by the way?
Kate, Kara, and Maddie Goslin are with us now. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Well, we have not seen you or gotten to talk to you two in a long, long time. And you're out because you want to let the world know that you're doing okay. Maddie, what would you want to say about how you and your sister and your family are doing?
Maddie, your words.
Oh, it's your hard. Chance. It's a hard question.
It's hard.
What about you, Kara?
Oh my God.
So this is their chance to talk. This is the most wordless I've heard them all morning.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for them, but Maddie, go ahead.
But I'm going to.
Sort of the things that you said in the magazine, that years later, they're good, they're fine. Go for it, Mad. It's your chance.
No, you just said it.
Oh. I said it.
Well, let me ask you this, girls. I mean, to go out and be in People magazine to say, hey, we're doing okay. Why did you feel you needed to say that? Do you think people had the wrong impression of you guys, Kara?
Kara. My gosh.
What Kara yes is thinking.
No. Oh, my gosh.
The interpreter.
Oh, wait. Well,
what is she thinking? Do people have the wrong impression of you?
Oh. I wouldn't say wrong. I would just say not, like, the full, like, story.
I want to slap the second daughter. I'm sorry. I don't care if her mom's horrible.
Which one, on the left or the right?
The one on the left, as we look at it. Like, come on, bitch. Spit something out. For Christ's sake, you're on TV.
Oh,
I'm not quite
me.
As upset as I was at Dr. Bruce's kids when they wouldn't tell me what their favorite pizza topping was, even when I pressed them on it at about the same age. But I'm almost as disgusted.
Do you think that they planned that? Not
that
with her, but that the two girls planned it ahead of time?
That was my initial instinct. I was like, this is some sort of silent protest.
I think they clammed up.
Mom.
Yeah.
I think they clammed
maybe.
Up.
Really?
I've seen it with my sister. I had my sister on my show. And it's like, she'll yell at me and all that stuff. And the camera's on. Yeah. 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 I go, Stephanie, you don't talk that way. Come on. Let's go. I got to pull it out of
people,
her. Like I do with
people shrink in front of the camera.
They've been in front of cameras a lot.
They do it a lot. But when you are...
They're essentially TV stars.
Here's the thing. when you're young, you're just all it. It's just whatever's on you is out of you. You know, you'll say to someone, well, oh, don't sit on that chair. You're so fat, you'll break it. You know, like you don't know to stifle yourself or stop yourself. You don't have
impulse control.
And you don't have an agenda. You know, like, I'm going to silently fuck this person's shit up. Like, you're going to fuck this shit up by calling them a big fat banana nose and fat head and whatever. That's what you do when you're little. And then when you're older, you have an impulse control, and you can do a passive aggressive sort of way. But this is two kids that are extremely passive aggressive, but can't harness it really correctly. But that impulse of fuck you, mom, we're not your little show ponies, and you're not going to trot us out here and get us to dance.
We're going to fucking hang you out to dry. Use your words like that. Like, can you imagine having that kind of mom?
What it is. Use no
words. Yeah, it was
just
bad.
The snap. It was so
that
weird.
Would have been much more than a lateral move for my mom. That would have been a move toward the light for sure. But
can you imagine being married to that? Then
no.
Let me put it that
way. When you are, although I couldn't imagine being married to that when you see the husband either. But the thing is, so what I'm trying to articulate is when you're 13. Cameras be damned. When you have that kind of resentment for somebody and it's that kind of hostility, you can't channel it and go, or you can't control it and go, the cameras are rolling, so I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to say something nice that everyone will be able to see through, like politicians do and like other people do. I'm just going to fucking sit there and let this cunt hang out to dry. And that's what they did. I mean, I don't know that they had a powwow about it. I'm just saying at 13, you're filled with hormones and anger and resentment and you can't fake it. You just can't fake. I mean, when my sister was 13, she couldn't fake it, you know. You just can't. Later on, you learn how to fake it. Earlier on, you don't know what faking it is. That's that sweet spot of, I have all this, and I can't really, I don't know what to do with it.
I feel bad for the daughters. You know, I see her. I could see her father and her mom and her. It's just, I know he's kind of a slime ball. Is that what they say?
Yeah. So I feel bad for them until I think about everybody else, and then I realize, what are we really talking about here? I mean, again, it's one of those first world problems. You know, you're on TV, they got kind of exposed. Your dad's gone. Everything's in the news. You resent the shit out of your mom. I understand that. But then you think about everyone from everywhere else in the world who probably put out and turned into prostitution a year earlier or working in some fucking sweatshop or something somewhere. And your thing is, you know, you're really you really fucking PO'd at your mom, but I don't look at it at I try to look at this sort of totality of things, like compared to who, compared to what, compared to all. Again, my own sister had it worse than these two. I really do think so. So I wouldn't raise my daughter that way. Clearly, they're fucking pissed at their mom. And, oh, God help the dude who comes into their life at some point. Oh, man, is he going to take a fucking beating?
So, Adam, your mom was hard on you?
No, my parents just they didn't talk. They were depressed. They locked themselves in the room. They didn't give a shit. We just raised ourselves. And because I'm a dude and I grew up in the Valley and I had sports and I had my friends, I just went to someone else's house and played sports and then ate. But my sister, because she's a woman, female, her wiring was different and much more sensitive and not nearly as durable as what men's wiring is. And
I am sensitive, though. I will pull back into that. I am sensitive like a sister.
But one of the Wayans. What's the Wayans chick's name? The point is this.
Kim?
Yes.
Kim Wayans.
What I'm saying is women can't handle the silent treatment like men can. Nobody flourishes.
The psychological abuse. Basically.
Yes. Nobody flourishes in that environment. But a woman, and I can tell you right now, I have a son and a daughter. And if I, you know, if we broke up and, you know, just sort of he got kind of hung out to dry a little, it'd just be more hours of him trying to shoot free throws out in the backyard with his basketball. My daughter would be spinning out of control.
Exactly.
That's who they are.
You got to.
That's why they make better moms. That's why they're better parents. They're more empathic. They're just wired for the kids.
But, Adam, that's how guys are these days. That's how these young kids are.
Sad. I know.
I'm out there. I'm out at Starbucks. I'm able to go in and be undercover. You know, people don't know me yet. So I listen. I see it. And
there's going to be... No, I agree.
Don't like it.
Listen, you know, this whole sort of gay couple thing where there's two dads or two moms, they're going to have two moms, even with a mom and a dad in a few years, because the dad's just going to be the mom. We're all getting dragged into this. I understand it well. I'm not going for it, by the way.
You're not going for the...
I don't go for this sort of thing. I don't go for this societal bullshit where mom and I have to be the same. And mom, I mean, I say shit all the time, you know, like they'll go, Daddy, why don't you have to pick up your socks? And I have to, because I go, because I fucking pay for everything.
Yeah.
I pay for everything. And they'll go, Daddy, you know, how come you weren't at the whatever? And yours, because I was on the road and I was working. Daddy works. Daddy pays for everything. That's why you got a big house. So
you
got
to have a man in your life.
Don't pretend I'm not. And I told my daughter yesterday, I tell her once a month. I just go, listen, I'm not your mom, and I'm not nearly as nice as your mom. I'm fair. I'm not as nice. So don't mess around with me.
That's, Adam, that's going to pay dividends in the long
yeah,
run.
Yeah, you got to. Hey, everybody. Remember Ace Corolla? His daughter's all grown up. You count 16 and a half is all grown up. Jade say four. Yeah, no, I say, look, you don't come at me with that attitude. You got to be respectful. I'll be nice to you. You be nice to me. But I'm not a pushover. And I let her know that there's a difference between the two people that are raising her. I'm this person. Your mom is that person. Collectively, we come together and make a good team for raising you, which is what you want. You don't want two of my wives. You sure as fuck don't want two of me.
Yeah, my dad intimidated me. A little right. bit. So my mom would scream at me, maybe hit me with a shoe, nag me. That was that. But, you know, you got to have, I feel you got to have some kind of male energy in your life.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, study after study proves it. That's where kids get disciplined. They need that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally I give them the, hey!
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa. Yeah. They snap it because they'll do. I'll see them with mom, like, you know, mom, we want to go to the, you know, fudge factory. Sounds like a gay bar. She's my hey, everybody. All right. So they'll go like, we want to go to Pinkberry. And mom will go, not now. Or I'm taking care of that. Well, I want to go now. And then I'm like, oh, not now. I want to, you know, mom. And then after about the 26th, I'm going to, you know, and my wife going, not now. I'll just give the hey. And it'll be like, people snap together, and they look, and they go, out. Your mom said no. You'll go in an hour. Don't bring it up again. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, you're not allowed to yell. You can't yell.
I am. That's what they say. I'm fucking allowed to yell. I'm allowed to do whatever the fuck I want.
But I'll tell you what, I love that. I'll tell you one thing, and I know we're going to get back to the news. When I was at Best Damn Sports Show, I get football teams in all over, you know, the Southland would come in there.
In the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't bringing it, and we had Michael Irvin, Michael Strahan, Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long,
right.
big time guys.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are like slouching, not bringing. I go, guys, we got to kick it up a notch. You want to push it? I played Division I baseball. You want to meet a Super Bowl winner? He's not coming over to you right now because he's not feeling the energy. Let's go. And they would pick it up a notch, and the coaches would always love it. They never, like, you could beat on a football team and they'll respond.
It's good.
They don't
like
shut
it.
Down. They like it.
No, I completely concur. All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Women hate women.
I did a Best Damn Sports Show with Hollywood Henderson on there, Dallas Cowboy outside linebacker. And I think Randy White. Oh, no, Randy White wasn't on it. Just Hollywood Henderson was on it.
I think he win the lottery or
something?
He won
the lottery maybe twice, but he was making – he went millions of dollars, which it shows there's a God. So go ahead and do a bunch of coke, squander your natural God-given ability, and fuck whores on the road with Ed Too Tall Jones. But don't worry. You'll win the Texas State Lottery twice. So He wrote a book, and he's sober now, and he's talking about, you know. And at a certain point, he said, you know, I really squandered my talent. He had almost Lawrence Taylor-esque talent in that he was a very fast. I mean, they'd have the guy returning kickoffs and shit. Like, he returned a kickoff for like 99
really?
Yards and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some footage of that. I mean, he was a fast, athletic outside linebacker, could have had a ton of sacks and had a lot of picks and stuff. And just a short season, but he's doing cocaine and stuff. And he said, if I had had the work ethic of Randy White, if I had been in the weight room with like Randy White up early, I was out all night doing drugs and stuff. If I had worked out like Randy White, I probably would have had a 12, 13 year all pro career. And he was done. And I said, wow, that's a twist. Usually you hear about the black guy with no God-given talent who has to overcompensate, and the white guy's the one who's out whoring all night. And he paused, and everyone paused and looked at me and went like, what the fuck? And then they all erupted in laughter. Thank God. I thought he was going to fucking kill me. He was still a big man, and he wears cowboy boots. But, yes, I think – we tried to look this up before. We couldn't find it, I think. I know Hollywood Henderson won – once and won like $13 million. It wasn't one of those things where he won $175,000. I think he won once and won like $13 million, but I swear to God he won twice, which is fucking insane. Although I would tell everyone I know not to play the lottery, but the one guy who went, oh, really? Because the last time I played, I won $13 million, bitch. I'd probably go, okay, you can play. Or just set aside $1 million of your 13 to play with. That'll be house money. Squarespace, baby. All in one platform makes it fast, fun, easy to create your own website, your professional website. Beautiful designs, styles, options. You create a unique website for your business. Easy to use, or maybe just need a website. He won $28 million. Oh, God. Anyway. Easy to use. They have amazing support, and their team is ready to help you 24/7. That means all the time. Start at just $8 a month. That includes a free domain name. You can sign up for a year, and you can get a free trial. How about that? No credit card required. Start building your website today. Use the offer code Carolla1. That is Carolla, C-A-R-O-L-L-A. And the number one for 10% off your first purchase and show your support of the show. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. Ah, he took the lump sum and walked away with $10 million. Oh. I don't, by the way, that seems only the government could get away with. It's a $28 million lottery. And you go, oh, I got the winning ticket. And they go, would you like?
Yeah.
$13 million, or would you like $275,000 a year for the next 181 years? And my answer would be, I want my fucking $28 million, because that's what the ticket says. Yes, only the government. By the way, only the people. There's no way the government who would regulate other people who give away, you know, casinos or things like that, would ever let that let you get away with that. Yeah. What is the tally up to? $28 million. Well, you can have half of that.
It's quite a sweet deal they cut with themselves.
They do make sweet, sweet deals with themselves.
Yeah.
With others, they're not quite as lenient.
Should I not play the lottery? Because I don't. What's your feeling on that?
I would have Hollywood Henderson with you when you play the lottery, because I feel like your chances of winning are nil. Your chances of winning twice are less than nil. But twice. Once you win twice, your chances of winning three times is like 60%.
Sure.
It's just good science. Brody Stevens, I'm going to tell people to go to his website.
What about my Twitter? Is Twitter good, Adam?
Yeah. Go to Brody Is Me Friend.
And that's an homage to Tony and Mr. Lee, my bus boys in New York. Brody, you good guy, you me friend. That's an homage.
There you go. Brody Stevens and Rotten Tomatoes, Matt Attigy. And until next time, this is Ace for Matt and Brody. And Bald saying.
Hey.
Oh, did I get Allison? Sorry. Saying. Mahalo.
It'd be a lot better if you did.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Live podcast at the University of Buffalo on February 1st and Treasure Island in Las Vegas February 21st. Plus, Adam's solo stand-up show in Detroit at the Motor City Casino on the 30th. Tickets and info on all live podcasts, stand-up Mangria events, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.
This is Corolla Digital.